Now I'd like to get into a little bit about who this Antichrist is and name him for you. Right, I'm going to read a short description of Clarence Larkin in his book that he wrote about 1918, how he described this man. And he said, he will be a composite man, one who embraces in his character the abilities of Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, and Caesar Augustus. He will have the marvelous gift of attracting unregenerate men, the irresistible fascination of his personality, his versatile attainments, superhuman wisdom, great administrative and executive ability, along with his powers as a consummate flatterer, a brilliant diplomat, a superb strategist, will make him the most conspicuous and prominent of men. All these gifts will be conferred on him by Satan, whose tool he will be. Now, in order to find out who this guy is and what his name is, George, we got to go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, where it says there were Nephilim in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. And it says, these became the mighty men which were of old, men of renown. The Nephilim, from the Hebrew word Nephal, means the fallen ones. These were fallen angels, because they fell from grace, fell from heaven, and fell to earth.
Okay, you don't believe they were extraterrestrials, like some do.
Well, let me tell you, they came from this place called heaven.
All right.
This heaven is extraterrestrial. This is the same place that the Messiah went to. When he said that very, very well-known statement, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said he went to this place, to this his Father's house of many mansions. Contrary to popular belief, he did not run away with Mary Magdalene and have a bunch of rugrats. he ascended and went to this place, and in his risen body, by the way, he appeared to a lot of people. At one time it says he appeared to over 600 brethren at the same time. That's why these 12 peasants, well, they weren't all peasants, but 12 ordinary guys like fishermen and shepherds, and Luke was a physician, he was a doctor, well educated. These guys turned the whole history of the world upside down after the day of Pentecost. They didn't make it up, because at one time, the Messiah, Jesus, in his risen body, appeared to over 600 of them at the same time. That's why it was so powerful, and why it is incredibly powerful even today, George, 2,000 years later. And it said he went to this place, and I believe heaven is outside our solar system, in another dimension. I don't think there's any time there. It said he's sitting there on the right hand of this other personage called God, surrounded by 24 elders on 24 thrones, we don't know who they are, and an innumerable amount of these spirit men we call angels, but they're men. And these Nephilim were fallen spirit men. I don't like angels. You know, I often say, when you mention the word angel, people think of a little naked cherubim with no genitalia, or they see a guy with big 20-foot wings and a spotlight behind them and orchestral music. But when you study the appearance of these guys throughout the whole of Scriptures, they're called men. They look like men. They've been mistaken as men. They wear clothes. They eat. They drink. And a band of these evil, rebellious guys fell to earth, the Nephilim, had sex with ordinary women, and these women produced offspring for them. And these offspring were great in size, hence the giants. And they were evil, violent, incredibly so, to such a degree that God wiped them all out in the flood of Noah.
I mean, didn't they eat the flesh of humans?
They even were into cannibalism.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, you name it, they did it, big time. This is, if you go and read the history of the Greek and Roman gods and the Egyptian gods and the blood sacrifices that they were into, this is who these guys were. And this is who these gods were, with a small g. The gods came down from heaven, they lived in Mount Olympus and Delphi. Zeus came down, he took Alcmene, the wife of mortal woman, she almost died giving birth to Hercules. That's who these guys were. Now, when the flood came, and these guys were knocking around for about 1,000 years, which precipitated the flood in the days of Noah. And that's why you have all these incredible anomalies around the earth, like the Great Pyramids, Machu Picchu, Stonehenge, Easter Island, Angkor Wat, etc., etc., because they were knocking around for a long time. So God sent the flood, wiped everybody out, except Noah and his family, but you cannot drown spirit men. And we're told that these guys are locked up in this subterranean prison, which is called Gloomy Dungeons, it's called the Abyss, it's called the Pit of the Abyss.
Hades.
Hades, exactly. Hades is the keeper of the underworld. It ties in with the Egyptian pyramid texts, the Edfu text, the Book of the Dead, where we're told that Hades is the keeper of the nether world and the gods are imprisoned there because they rebelled against Zeus. It's in Homer's Iliad and in other writings. And we're also told it's named once in the epistle in the New Testament. It's called Tartarus or Tartarus. And of course, this ties in with the Tartarus of Greek and Roman mythology, where the gods are imprisoned because they rebelled against Zeus. And we're also told that the Messiah, in his risen body, went, it says he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he appeared and he preached to these guys. But the word preached there is caruso. He heralded his triumph over them in the same way that a Roman general would display his slaves and the treasures that he brings from some far-flung campaign before the citizens of Rome. He heralds his triumph over them. In reality, the Messiah appeared to this guy in his risen body because they thought they'd wiped him out once they crucified him and killed him. He said, here I am, boys, I'm up from the dead. You know, all your plans have come to naught, and I'll be back, or words to that effect. And that's where these guys are, and they're locked up in this place, still there. Now, there was a second eruption of these fallen angels after the flood, and when Moses sent in the 12 spies to spy out the promised land after they'd escaped from Israel, or from Egypt rather, the spies came back and 10 out of the 12 said, there's no way we can take this land, it's full of giants. And it says, we saw the Nephilim there, the sons of Anak, which come of the Nephilim. And it says, 40 years later, under the leadership of Joshua, they did go in and conquer these people. It said they captured 60 of the giant cities of Bashan and killed Og, the king of Bashan. And it gives the measurements of his iron bed. And when you work it out in feet, it's like 18 and a half feet long and 8.5 feet wide. And as I often say, George, you wouldn't like to wake up in the morning with this guy's arm around you.
No.
18.5 feet long bed?
Not at all.
No. But I surmise in my book that the fallen angels that caused this eruption the second time, that they're not locked up in Tartarus. I believe they're still at large, and they're still in the world today. And I would have to say that these are probably the guys that are involved in a lot of the UFO activity and the greys and all the weird stuff that's going on, because I think they're still at large.
Is it a diversion?
Well, it is. I think it's a diversion, and I think a lot of this stuff is preparing the ground for what is coming down in the future. Because it says in there, in Thessalonians and other places, that the majority of the people in this future apocalypse are going to be deceived, except for the elect. And it says they're going to be sent a strong delusion. Now, I don't know exactly what that is, but in talking to other people that are interested in this, these gods are going to make a reappearance again. Because we're told in Revelation chapter 9 that the abyss is going to be opened. The bottomless pit is going to be opened, and they're going to be released at large. And it talks about locusts coming out, and it describes them and stuff like that. And it says to them, that's in Revelation chapter 9, and it says, and they had a king over them. And it's talking about these angels that are locked up, these fallen spirit men. And it says, they had a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, or Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue is Apollyon, A-P-O-L-L-Y-O-N. Well, Apollyon, George, is nothing more than how the Greeks spell Apollo, what we would call Apollo.
Right,
Apollo.
Right.
And he's called the beast from the abyss, and he goes on to become the Antichrist. That's his name. Because it was written as Apollyon, nobody copped onto it before. It's Apollo, and Apollo was one of the main leaders of the original pantheon of Greek gods, along way back there with Zeus and Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, Pluto, Orion, and there's female Nephilim too, by the way.